Football is back, and BetOnline is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info with all the up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL and college football at your fingertips with BetOnline's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. From week one all the way to the college football playoff and Super Bowl, BetOnline gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined again by Justin Southwell and Eve Vitoba. Guys, we are 2-0.
Woo!
2-0, man. Yeah. 2-0 in one of the strangest W's that you could ever imagine, right? It's one of those games where you win and you feel good about the win, yet you're still kind of like, it almost feels like a loss, right? Or is it just me? Does anybody else feel that?
I don't feel that way, actually,
no.
At all.
I don't really think that I feel like it was a loss, but I also don't feel like I know that much more about this team.
No, yeah.
I will say it feels like our defense is finding their groove.
Yeah, especially in the second half, man. The second half, we came out there looking good, playing a lot of cover two, a lot of trap coverage. We were out there making that quarterback guess, right? It was just like Justin kind of predicted, whenever we talked last week, where he said, look, this is a freshman quarterback. How can we go about confusing him a little bit? And it seems like we were able to get that done in the second half of the game, man. So definitely was glad to see that.
That was cool. Of course, we played all three quarterbacks again. So there's that.
Yeah. Different order, though. Gundy did switch up the order. It was Bowman, Gundy, then Rangel. So I guess this week we can expect to see Gundy, Rangel, Bowman.
I think so.
It's a little round robin that we're messing with. It is. Quarterback circus, but I don't know, man. Who, after watching the game, who do y'all feel like should be getting the most reps, or who should be QB1 for the team?
So I just saw an interesting tweet right before we started recording, and it was a quote from Gundy, how he flipped the script. And he was like, if it were you guys, which two quarterbacks would you tell there aren't playing anymore? Which is a unique perspective, I think. It's like, okay, well, I mean, it's the same thing. I say that because I don't know who I would pick, because I have not been completely impressed by any of them, but I haven't also been completely unimpressed by any of them because I haven't been able to get a big enough sample size. I think initially, you know, Bowman, stat-wise, he had the most yards of all the three. They were also down when he, you know, Arizona State scored a touchdown. And so it's like, oh, Bowman, we need a touchdown. Well, he didn't get a touch. He's the only quarterback. He had 113 yards, but zero touchdowns. Where the other two, you know, Gundy had 32 yards and a touchdown. Rangel had 46 yards and a touchdown. So how do you gauge that? What's more valuable, yards or a touchdown? I think touchdowns, but also 46 yards for a quarterback stat is not impressive. So how do you judge?
True. Yeah, it's still a very limited sample size. And I don't like the fact that Gundy tried to do that little script flipped on us, right? Who would you tell? Which two would you tell that they're not playing anymore? Because, well, two things. One, that's kind of your job as a leader of the program, right? Like, you have to be able to tell those people and have those tough conversations. But also, secondly, you know better than us. You've seen them at practice, right? You've been able to evaluate a lot more than the fans, than the reporters, than the press. So don't flip it on us, right? Like, it's your job as the head coach to be able to make that decision. So, yeah, I don't get that. But, you know, that's what Gundy does.
No, I mean, you're right on, Eve. I mean, we shouldn't be able to tell, I don't think, based on the games alone. Like, it's going to be in practice. And I think part of the problem, too, is, and this is my opinion, but the quarterbacks – just aren't getting enough time to shine. Just as one guy starts getting into a rhythm, that quarterback's taken in and out and a new one's entered in. So, yeah. I mean, and I've also heard, like, some fans will say that Gundy is treating the non-conference like the NFL's preseason with rotating the quarterbacks. And in a way that's true, but honestly, I hope that's not his mindset, because we see good teams in the NFL lose preseason games all the time because those games don't matter. But Oklahoma State's games absolutely matter.
Absolutely.
And in my opinion, there has to be a sense of urgency about naming QB1. And the fact that it's taken this long is a little bit worrisome if you're looking forward to future games. But the fact that we're 2-0 is a good thing, but it's also potentially worrisome because you can kind of create a false sense of security based on what we're doing is working. And yeah, it's worked against an FCS opponent at home, and it's worked on the road against a Power 5 team that's at or near the bottom of the Pac-12. So I hope that he's not just thinking we can just roll right in, do the exact same thing versus Alabama or South Alabama, but it looks like that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it is a little bit worrisome, but just as we talked about last week, remember how I just talked about how I really just wasn't that worried because it seems like there is some type of play, like a long-term outlook in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I still feel that way. Like, even though, you know, we're two games in, we're still rotating the quarterbacks, I still just, I don't know, I just have this belief that there is a plan.
I wonder if almost part of it is
a decision already made, but they're trying to, I don't know, like they're trying to do something psychologically to whoever's going to be named QB1.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I think maybe part of it is like that we have a really early bye week again this year, and that kind of bit us as far as, you know, depth last year, especially in injuries and things like that. So if we're able to kind of spread out the reps for a while and then get into, you know, October, November and have this long string of games, at least we've got, you know, some fresher legs or whatever the case is. But I don't know. We'll see.
Don't you want consistency under center? I mean, at a certain point, it's like, okay. And I mean, I texted you guys before we kicked off on Saturday, you know, find out Bowman starting. If Bowman had, I think they're each playing about 4 or 5 series. Is that right? He's kind of doing it based on series, not by quarters. Yeah. If Bowman goes out there and goes 4 series, 4 touchdowns, do you really take him out of the game? Like, why would you do that? Why would you take out the hot hand? I mean, I guess at that point, it's also like, okay, we have the lead, rest your starters. And, you know, you see that in non-conference games all the time. But if he's getting, like, build that lead. You need those convincing wins at the end of the season to convince the committee you deserve a spot in the CFP. I mean, that's – so I'm curious to see this week what happens if someone does get hot. I mean, on the flip side, he's putting in – you know, the games have not been blowouts, and he's putting in – each quarterback. So that tells me that he has faith in all of them, or he's just really stubborn and is going to be like, I'm going to prove you guys wrong. And we're playing all three.
Yeah. I mean, yo, Meg, I think you just made like 5 valid points right there. Right. So that's why I'm like, it's really, really hard to gauge and figure out what might be going on within the program. But as Justin said, to kick this thing off, we just don't really know much more than we did in week 0, right, about this team. So still so many questions that are unanswered. And I feel like we're probably not going to get many answers against South Alabama.
Well, what I do know, Eve, is that Dejon Stribling is a stud. Big fan of this kid. Big fan. He had 7 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. His first catch of the game was also the 100th of his career. Jaden Bray also looked solid on Saturday. 3 catches for 47 yards. BP, 4 catches, 41 yards, a touchdown. I think that our receiving core is very, very solid. So that is one thing that I am confident about. I cannot say the same for the run game, but we will get to that after your thoughts on our receivers.
Yeah, I'll take this because, you know, receivers close to my heart. But yeah, absolutely right. They're a solid group. I think that each one of those guys proves that we have multiple ways that we can attack a defense. And so I love that we all have like different skill sets there. And hey, Stribling, that guy's a perfect example of benefiting from the transfer portal. Like, he's better than anybody that we lost in the portal, straight up. So I'm glad he's on our side. And hey, Bray, I mean, there was one play, he had a deep slant. I thought he was about to score because he had such a burst of speed coming out of that cut. And he actually like barely missed on another deep ball attempt to him where he completely laid out. I think he probably almost snagged it one-handed. But we're starting to see what he can do when he's healthy. And then you already know how I feel about Brennan Presley, man. Get this man the ball.
Yes.
Of course, he scored a touchdown again, but I was disappointed to see that the attempts had dropped in game two. So he still needs more targets. Don't let up on that.
Yeah, man, BP looked really good. And I'm telling you, this entire receiving core, they just look like they're hungry. I think I really like what I'm seeing from them. It's just a matter of having a consistent ball thrower, right? I think it would help them out a lot, too, if they know exactly where they're getting the ball from on any given series. But, hey, I'm just here as a fan. I'm just here trying to watch, see what happens.
I don't know. Love the receiving room. Presley said it himself at Big 12 Media Days. He was super excited about the guys in there. And you know what, BP? I am excited, too. I like what I'm seeing. On the flip side, mentioned the running backs. Guys, we went down this week. We went to average 3.6 yards per carry after being close to 5 last week. What did we do?
I mean, I said it last week. The fact that we were still under, 4.8 yards per carry last week against Central Arkansas, when that was supposed to be a game where you would have rather seen us closer to 6 yards per carry. So that's supposed to be one of those games that brings the average up. So whenever you see 3.7 against a Power 5 team in Arizona State, you're just like, okay, well, hopefully this is not indicative of what the rest of the season is going to look like. Hopefully they're still experimenting some with some zone schemes and some power schemes on with their blocking. Because honestly, pass blocking did not look that bad, right? But gosh, like, run blocking, I don't know. It makes me think that they're still trying to put everything together and, make it all mesh as the season goes on. But yeah, it's really not looking good. And if they're leaving it up to the running back to be the person that kind of creates their own holes and opens up the run game for them instead of kind of making it happen through the O-line, then you better have somebody who has some speed, some quickness, but also a whole lot of vision and knows how to, set up blocks to get themselves open. And, of course, missed tackles.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm not really worried about the running backs, because I think that we do have the guys, the skill sets there, vision, speed, and just Ollie just being a freak, because, I mean, he's the dude who almost makes the offensive line look better. So, in my opinion, this is all on the O-line. Like, it starts with them being more physical up front. In some instances, they need to have quicker feet to set the edge, or in some cases, get to the second level and attack some linebackers, get some hands on some linebackers. But O-line, by far the biggest issue on the team. We're trying to forge an identity of who we want to be as a football team, and I feel like we're being held back because of the offensive line. So I don't really think that the issue is the running backs or the quarterbacks. I know we're all talking about who QB1 is going to be. And at this point, I think they've all proven that they can all go out and hold their own. And the biggest question mark for me still remains the offensive line. Are they going to be able to step up, especially against the opponents in conference play who are better than what we've seen before, and be able to see how they do? But as far as running backs, they should be good. Hopefully they can stick with it, be patient. Eventually, like we saw against Arizona State, holes are going to open up. They're going to be able to turn them for a big game every once in a while. So, of course, not everyone's going to be a home run, big play, but look forward to those moments. And when they happen, go out and celebrate with your team, because you've earned it. As a running back, you've earned it at that point.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting, too, about that point is whenever you look at the game, there were – 23, this is feels like 45 podcasts. They tweeted out that when you look at the offensive production, like the different personnel that they were coming out in, 11 personnel took the lead there, right? We have one running back, a tight end, but 20 personnel and 21 personnel were like 23 plays, right? And 23% of the offensive snaps. So they're having two running backs that are back there in the backfield, like seeming like they're trying to make some type of statement with multiple people back there, but it's just not paying off right now. So I don't think it's for a lack of effort. I think they're just still trying to figure it out. I don't know if it's the coaches or the players trying to figure it out, but I don't know. In my opinion, it's just
there not. Was like a really good play that actually feels like 45. They posted on that thread where one of the tight ends went in motion and came around and ended up pancaking the guy. And I think it might have even been on the backside of the play, but stuff like that, not being in 11 as much, and going with a tight end, going with an extra blocking running back to be able to open some of those holes, because the front five aren't going to be able to get it done on their own, it looks like.
Yeah, man, it's not looking like it at all.
I agree with you, Justin. I don't think the problem is the running backs. You look, I mean, Ollie and Jaden both had really good game. I mean, stat-wise, they had 53 and 43 yards, but they had two long runs. Ollie had a 31-yard run. Jaden had a 34-yard run. Last week against Central Arkansas, we had saw the 44-yard run from Ollie that got called back due to a holding penalty again, which is on the offensive line. So I think the talent in the backfield is there. It's just how do you block for them and how do you not beat yourself up with holding penalties that lose you 10 yards in the play. So I think we can get
the running backs. Yeah. Like, to their credit, I think that they are being patient. I think that the fans maybe not so much. So the running backs are being patient and they're also being unselfish to be able to allow everybody to get in, run their skill set. They're sharing the load, which is great for depth. Everybody's getting playing time. It's not as big of a deal for running backs as it is with quarterbacks. Because, yes, while you're like rotating them in, you're truly rotating running backs in based on a situation, whereas quarterbacks are going in for series at a time, and then they're out of the game completely. So I don't really know why Gundy brings that up as – like maybe this kind of like revolutionary way of thinking that we're actually rotating quarterbacks in. It's a completely different way of rotating in. So I don't understand that, but I'll say this, like, to the fans that want to see Ollie Gordon get 15, 20 carries. Yeah. It's not going to happen right now. And especially it's not going to happen on the road in the desert and 100-degree heat. Like, we need to make sure that he can last through this season. And the benefit of that, of having these other running backs, is they can also go in and share the load. And so it's just a matter of, let's block for these guys and make sure that everybody gets some love.
Wouldn't it be nice to know who the feature running back is, the feature receiver is, and the feature quarterback is, right? I think right now it's just kind of like, okay, three running backs are playing, we're distributing the ball amongst, like, you know, five receivers, and three quarterbacks are playing. It's like there's no one feature player for any position on the offensive side of the ball. And that just kind of feels weird. Again, it might just be because, you know, it's off conference or out of conference right now, but it is a little strange. I'm not used to this.
On the flip side, Eve, isn't it kind of nice to think, like, we have two to three guys at receiver and running back that can be impact players, and we don't need a featured one because on any given day, any one of them could go off?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's nice. I'd like to see somebody go for 1,000 yards because they got 20 carries a game. I'd like to see somebody go for 1,000 yards because they got, you know, they were consistently getting 80 yards per game, 85 yards receiving per game, right? So that, you know, that would be nice just to have somebody in the national conversation whenever the end of the year comes, you know, award season comes around. But, hey, I guess it's more about the wins. So, as long as we keep playing, I'll take it.
That's almost turning it into like a money ball situation. Would you rather have just some dudes who can get the job done and get on base? Or would you rather have like a superstar at running back and a superstar at receiver who are, you know, getting all these accolades and stuff at the end of the year? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we need to like term this as Gundy ball moving forward, because we just keep rotating guys in and nobody's going to get any national recognition. But if we keep getting wins, I think the fan base will be happy.
Yeah, agreed.
And you ask most guys, you know, what's your goal for the season? And most guys are not saying, I want to win the Heisman. I want to win the Biletnikoff. I want to win an insert position award here. They're saying, I want a national championship. Of course, they also acknowledge winning the Heisman would be great, but they don't care about that as much as they care about the Big 12 or the national championship. And maybe that's not how they feel, but that's what they say to the media. That's what they've said to me. So I'm going to go with it that they would rather get that championship ring and trophy than a Heisman.
A lot of people have great media training, right? So, you know, of course you have your team goals and then you have your personal goals as well. And I will say, you know, any guy that's out there that has these team goals wants to be the person that also propels them to the Big 12 championship game. So, hey, as long as you got that dog in you, like, you want to be the guy that can say, hey, put it on my back, I'll take us there.
And I'm not saying that they don't want to win those individual awards either. But to your point, Eve, they want those by helping their team get to the championship game.
Right.
So, yeah. Really quickly, before moving on to our matchup this week against South Alabama, I got to acknowledge the defense. We know Eve is a former DB. I'm a former defensive player in every sport ever. Sorry, Justin, you're out of this one. But
not necessarily. I actually played defense in football up until maybe my junior year of high school. And then I played on the defensive side in soccer when I was at OBU. So, I know a little bit about
defense. I had no idea you played defense. What position did you play?
For football?
Yeah.
Corner.
I didn't know that.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Have an opinion, Justin. You've just been very wide receiver heavy. So I'm just saying, got to show the defense some love, but you can be a part of this too. Last week, I said I needed Colin Oliver to be more of a presence. And Nick Martin, it was your time to shine. And boy, did they both make me proud. They must watch Believe in OK State and been like, you know what? We got to show out. Nick Martin had a career night, 10 tackles, a sack, quarterback hurry. Guys, his previous single game high was 3 tackles. Nick Martin, ladies and gentlemen. And last season, granted, most of his playing time was on special teams. Last season, Nick had a total of 15 tackles. In 2 games this year, he's already up to 13. So let's go, Nick Martin. Let's go. And then Colin Oliver was named the team MVP by the team for his performance this week. He had 7 tackles, 2 for a loss, a forced fumble, and a pass breakup. Guys.
And, I mean, it was beautiful to watch, right? It's beautiful to see. I think, we talked all offseason about how Coach Nardo was going to be able to mix things up with the defense. And I know that last week was a lot more vanilla. But here he is coming out against Arizona State, playing some 4-man fronts, some even fronts. He took Colin Oliver, kind of moved him around a little bit. I mean, it's, what we had seen from him, I guess, in prior years, based off of the little bit of game tape that we saw from him at his previous school, you're starting to see the creativity with his defense. So really, really like how he was able to use the linebackers in particular. So Nick Martin and Colin Oliver, they were able to shine. So, man, yeah, that was really great to watch.
I will say, I don't want to take away from what they did, but Arizona State is apparently not a second half team because they've scored 3 points in 4 quarters. And I know that that's only part of the equation.
Don't take away from the
time. 2 minutes ago, Justin's like, I play defense. I support defense. And now he's like, well, Arizona State's not a second half team.
Come on, bro. What are you doing?
Hey, it is what it is. Numbers don't lie. All right. But no, props to the defense. Props to Nardo. They're doing a very solid job to start the year. Tackling, though, has been an issue. And I have faith that is going to be addressed.
Yeah.
But hey, if it takes Nick Martin having a career night and getting 30 tackles a game because these other guys are arm tackling and not bringing guys to the ground, so be it. He took the Malcolm Rodriguez seminar. Thank you, sir.
Well, I will say the tackling looked like a lot more of an issue in the first half. And then the second half, you saw a lot more short tackles in there, right? Mostly by Nick Martin. I mean, I will say it was mostly by Nick Martin and Colin Oliver. But it's still it's good to see that they can make those adjustments, which are going to be more and more needed as Justin Wright is recovering from the injury.
And, I'm not going to, bash on this at all because I love the effort flying around, being, flying to the ball. But Xavier Benson, you're getting to the ball and you're getting, so close. And it's just, finish the job, man, because yeah. You're going to be able to rack up the stats too if you can just get those guys to the ground. But he's flying around. Compared to last year, it seemed like he was maybe a little bit more lost at times. Now this time it's kind of like he
knows where to be.
Knowing where to be, but kind of whiffing on the tackles. And so if you get that last part shored up, then, man, the sky's the limit there.
It's like my high school defensive coordinator used to say, oh, there's the play. Never mind. Whenever we would watch film, that was his trademark thing. Oh, there it is. Never mind. You just always just getting close, but not quite making it. You don't get rewarded for being almost there.
Yeah, truth.
One more defensive shout out. Lyric Rawls, first career interception and first of what we hope to be many picks this season for the Pokes. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from the defense so far. I mean, again, it's only Central Arkansas and Arizona State. So it's kind of, you know, we'll see how we fare as we go into the Big 12. But I think that we're starting to find our identity, and I'm liking it.
Lyric Rawls is number six. So we have picks with six. New segment on the show. Let's go.
Six. I like it. Is he number six? Yeah, he is number six. Not a safety over there. Love it.
South Alabama, our opponent for this week. It is our third meeting with them. We lead the series 2-0. South Alabama is 1-1 on the season. I think this is going to be a solid matchup. They lost their season opener 37-17 to then ranked Tulane. Tulane is nothing to sleep on, so can't really be too upset about losing it. And 37-17 isn't a blowout. I wouldn't say. I mean, it's 20 points, but it's not like 63-0 like we've seen with other teams. Yeah, how are you guys feeling headed in to Saturday?
This is a weird game. Like, I've seen a few fans in the offseason mark this down as an L for Oklahoma State, and I don't really see why they would think that. I guess just because of their total wins last year, but it's against inferior competition. And South Alabama, guys, I don't know if you guys know this or not, they started playing college football in 2009. Like, Gundy has coached longer than South Alabama has been a program. So, of course, like, they've made significant strides in that time, but they shouldn't be anywhere near Oklahoma State. And if they are, that's an issue that starts with the coaches. Like, getting out-recruited and out-coached by a program that hasn't been around that long at all, time to maybe reevaluate some things if this goes south. So,
pun intended, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, though, like, based on, you know, just what they've been able to do, I think their running back has like 120 yards total right in the first two games of the season, 121 yards. Isn't that right?
Yeah, he's similar to Scatterman.
Sorry.
A little bit.
And I think based on the momentum that we are picking up, right, it seems like we're figuring things out. We're starting to put things together really well. They're playing inferior competition, right? I think just from a pure talent standpoint, we'll be able to just outmatch them. And honestly, because of, you know, how things are trending for our team, I think even if we do go out there with the three quarterback round robin that we've been doing, I'm expecting a complete dominant performance for the Cowboys.
See, I think that they might actually be a little bit better than Arizona State, but I think that that maybe is more on the offensive side of the ball. I think that maybe our offense should be able to light up their defense, because it's not necessarily just the pass game. Like, they were getting beat deep by Tulane. So if we're able to use that to our advantage, or if they're preparing for that, they're thinking Oklahoma's going to air us and they're preparing for that, maybe then that opens up for the run game a little bit, because you got guys that are playing deeper in the defensive backfield. So it's kind of like, we have different ways to attack them. We should have vastly superior talent on our side. So I don't see why we shouldn't like just absolutely crush. Now, they have big play capabilities. So yep. Their receiver, I think it's pronounced Colin Lacey. He actually had like a pretty cool play against South Alabama. It's an 84-yard touchdown catch. And like, he caught it, he took off, but then he like slowed up, right, to let his other receiver, another teammate, come over and block for him. So he got the wide receiver block downfield. It was beautiful, cut across the field and scored a touchdown. You just love to see that. That's just good football IQ. So it's just a matter of, you know, can you shut that guy down? Can you contain the running back, who's going to be very similar, I think, to what we saw last week with Arizona State? The guy is another bowling ball type of running back. Yeah. So you got to be able to get him down. And then, yeah, I think that I totally trust our defense, right, at this point, because they've done nothing but just prove against this competition so far that they're up for the challenge. And it's all going to be based on, can our quarterbacks get hot? And if they get hot, are they going to be taken out of the game? Can the other quarterback step in and get hot as well? What I'm worried about maybe a little bit is, let's say Gundy gets the start, What if he starts off slow? What if he throws an interception or two and can't bounce back from that? He never gets going, and that's detrimental to our team. Like, we don't know. Like, I don't have any reason to believe that based off what we've seen so far, but that potential is always there. So I don't know.
Yeah, man, I think the biggest thing that I'm going to be paying attention to in this game is going to be the offensive line. Like, I'm just going to be binoculars, microscope in on the O-line. All right, this is another game that we should ideally be able to dominate, right? Things haven't been working out quite that way so far in the first two weeks of the season. But, golly, South Alabama. So let's get it together, guys. Like, hey, conference play is going to start here pretty soon. So as long as we can dominate on the O-line, I feel good about the rest of everything else that happens, right? Regardless of what's happening with the quarterback situation, I just want the offensive line to look like they got their stuff together. Please.
Well, let's remember, gentlemen, that South Alabama had preseason votes for the top 25 and Oklahoma State did not. So while right. I agree, we should win this game, we cannot come out like we did against Central Arkansas. You need to be on it. You need to be attacking. You need to play like you did in the second half against Arizona State. You guys have been talking about their running back, LaDainian Webb. He has been limited following off-season surgery, but he's putting up numbers. He's averaging 7.6 yards per carry against Southeast Louisiana. He had 81 yards on 7 attempts for an average of 11.6 yards. We struggled with Scataboo early against Arizona State. So, you know, we talked about our defense needing to make tackles, not missing tackles. You need to tackle this kid. So that is my first key to the game. Make that tackle, slow down their run game. The second game, Eve, playing off our offensive line, South Alabama is only allowing 3.2 yards per carry this season to running backs, which is concerning because we have not been able to get up to 5 yards per carry. So that matchup, our offensive line creating gaps for our running backs, can we get it going? On the flip side, they've struggled against the pass and have given up 322 yards in the air the first two games. So even if we can't get our running game going, how do we use our offense? Do we air it out? Do we do the deep ball to Stribling, which I think very much exists? So that is going to be – I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk. I think we should be able to take care of business, but we have to come to play.
Well, one thing that gives me a lot of encouragement is, you know, week one, we were definitely trying to hold our cards close, right? We weren't trying to show our cards. Week two, we showed a lot more on the offensive side and on the defensive side. So I think if we go out there with our week two playbook instead of our week one playbook, where it is a lot more open, it's not like we're trying to be as bland and as vanilla as possible, right? You can still be creative because it's already out there. It's already out on tape. You should be able to handle a team like a, you know, South Alabama. So I don't foresee it being anything like Central Arkansas simply because more of the playbook has been opened up. So, you know, we're probably reserving some more plays, some more formations, some more looks for actual in-conference play. But at least now that, hey, we've played a Power 5 opponent and we've been able to show some of our better stuff, we can actually use that stuff in this game as well against an opponent that's inferior, at least athletically.
Man, South Alabama. I can't see why anybody would think we would take an L to this team. Like Meg, you mentioned it earlier. They did get preseason
votes
in the AP poll. But again, 10-2 record or whatever it was last year. I know that they had a lot of returning starters on that team and they did pretty well in the transfer portal, getting a lot of, you know, Division I talent in the portal in their favor. But I'm sorry, it's going to take a lot more than that to beat Oklahoma State, or it should. Like the mindset of some of the fans to think we might lose to South Alabama at home and then turn around and maybe beat Kansas State.
Who are these fans? What are you seeing this stuff?
I'm just seeing message boards, Twitter, whatever the case is. You know, you go through the schedule week by week and you pick out wins and losses. And it just blew my mind that an L would show up next to South Alabama. So, hey, you got to go do it though. Like you can predict all you want. You just got to go out and the game isn't won on paper. Go out there and do the thing.
It is college football, right? I mean, you went and you saw Baylor lose to Texas State and then turn around and get really, really competitive against Utah, right? So you just never know what's going to happen. But I cannot see that happening with a coach like Mike Gundy, right?
And the biggest things are matchups, right? And the matchups, I still believe, are in our favor. Offensive line, the size difference between our offensive line and their defensive line. Eve, I mean, I'm going to be right there with you watching it. If we can't handle business against this team, we might be in for some trouble. Like, and then Dickey just needs to, like, not even worry about coaching these guys anymore. Just go out and start recruiting the other guys for the next season to replace whoever we're losing.
Right. Now, it's going to be fun, though, watching it in person. Yes, this is my first Oklahoma State game of the season.
Let's go.
Going to be there at Boone Pickens Stadium wearing my orange baseball jersey. Yes, the one that Meg is rocking right now. Can't wait.
I'm so excited, guys. I'm wearing it every day this week. Not really. I'm not gross like that, but.
Yes.
We're recording on Monday, so plenty of time to wash it.
We're in it for 10 minutes, an hour right now to record, but you know.
But then you're going to wear it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday too. So
every day, orange Friday at work too. Woo!
That's right. I love it. Yeah, can't wait to be rocking that on Friday with the orange faithful, loyal and true. It's going to be lit.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing on South Alabama, their quarterback has 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this season. I love that ratio for us. So Corey Black, I feel it. This is your time. This is your time to get your first career interception. Get after that quarterback, guys. Get some sacks. That's right. Nick Martin, Colin Oliver, defense.
Let's go.
Good. Also,
I want it to look like the Cowboys looked on Monday night.
I'm just
let's get 40-0 up on these boys, man. That's what we need.
Yeah. Colin Oliver, I need you to turn right into number 11. Parsons.
Michael Parsons. That's what I need. Yeah, absolutely need that. Who's going to be Dak Prescott, though? That's going to be the question.
I don't know if I want to go that route.
Yeah.
But before we get to uniform and game picks, do have to say it will be the OSU Athletics Hall of Honor class of 2023 will be enshrined on Friday night. Six current Cowboy legends, former athletes and coaches, Justin Blackman, Ricky Fowler, David Buddy Arndt, Yolanda Odenyo, Ann Pitts, and Shelby Wilson will be honored Friday night. That ceremony will be streamed live on OSU Max for subscribers. So if you want to watch that, subscribe to OSU Max as well, and you can catch all of the action. So
let go. So exciting. Congratulations to every single person getting honored on Friday and on Saturday. What an exciting time for you guys. One of our former teammates, Justin, is going to be getting inducted into the Ring of Honor as well, Justin Blackman. So we will be there for that. So, man, couldn't be more proud of these OSU student-athletes. I don't even like saying OSU student-athletes. Just these OSU legends getting honored the way that they are.
That's right.
Well, guys. Uniform picks. We all got it wrong last week. All of us, including the expert, Justin Southwell.
That's all right. They look good. So,
whoa, why are you being so defensive, Justin? Yo, slow down. Take it easy. My goodness. Gosh.
I don't expect my, like, I'm more excited for the one. I'm hoping one time I'll get it right. Yeah. But they looked good. And that's what matters. And they won.
Well,
so this week,
what did y'all think about Arizona State's uniforms?
I said I loved their helmets, and then I thought about it, and I was like, if you are doing a blackout Arizona State uniform, head of equipment operations for Arizona State football, if you are listening to this and you do a blackout, the uniforms should be all black. It's what you do for a blackout. Looked good, not blackout worthy.
Well, I'm going to have to come to that person's defense. So it turns out that this is just a budget issue for Arizona State. So the new helmet scan technology and high-end helmet models that they use are essentially prioritizing for the health of their players. And that's going to take precedent. Like, it's going to take a toll on the budget. So they're limiting to 2 shells. So they have that candy maroon helmet that color shifts between maroon and gold, and then they have their traditional gold. Now, I will say, in my opinion, I think that we missed out a little bit on a legendary uniform matchup, because had Arizona State worn their traditional uniforms versus the white, white, orange that the Cowboys rolled out there, man, that would have been looking a lot better on film. But hey, you know, you guys do you. It's fine.
Yo, their uniforms look good. I can't even lie.
For Adidas?
I mean, yeah, for Adidas. And it kind of feels weird to say that, but they're
pretty cool, actually. Like, but for Adidas, there's always that caveat. But yeah.
But man, every single time that I've gone back and watched any clips from this game, any photos from this game, that white, white, orange just looks so dang good. I mean, yo, was it just me? I was like, my goodness, like these jerseys are the greatest things that I've ever seen. Like they looked phenomenal. I can't wait to see more of these.
I think the script Cowboys for me was the icing on the cake. Like,
oh, it looked amazing. Oh,
God, so good.
Yeah, so good. I would commit to Oklahoma State all over again just from looking at these uniforms.
Like, normally I don't like orange face masks on our helmets, but I will say, like, based on what they wore for that game, it made sense and it looked good.
Just beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin and Williams. As hard as it is to believe, I thought that I would love the traditional white, orange, white as my favorite look. And we got to see it week one. And then they rolled out with this in week two. And I'm like, oof, I can't decide. Like, how do I pick between these two?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go slight edge to white, white, orange because it just looked so clean.
So clean.
All right. Well, picks for week three. I'm going first so Eve doesn't steal it. Black, orange, black. Pistol Pete.
Wow. Black, orange, black.
We haven't seen any black yet. It won't be all black because it's not the blackout. I don't know. I feel like black, orange, black is what's going to happen.
It might look clean. Might look decent.
Yeah, I think I wasn't really
going to say. What helmet did you say, Meg?
I said black. Pistol Pete. Well, black helmet pistol with
like the full body Pistol Pete.
I said full body last week, but you know what? I have in my Google Doc, I have full Pete written down. That's what I decided earlier today. So we'll go with it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I actually have us going with all orange. Like just all orange. Yeah. So we're going out there all orange and we're going with the Pistol Pete.
All Pete?
Not the full Pete. The head.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be my all orange at this point. I would just say based off the uniforms we've worn, that would be my least favorite. And I haven't even seen it yet. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Just because the other, you know, week one and week two were S tier perfection.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I guess, a little bit different from you guys. Like, I think that
we let me guess. Have... You're going white, orange, white?
No.
Okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
Unbelievable. Can't believe you can't read my mind. No, I think we'll probably see some black this time, like Meg was saying, but I don't think it'll be with the helmet and pants. I'm going to go white, black, white. And I'll say curse the Cowboys.
You know, that's actually one of my least favorites, that color combination. Yeah.
You said white. That it was one of your favorites whenever they released the uniforms. And that was one of the models that they had. White, black, white, curse of Cowboys.
You think curse of Cowboys and back-to-back?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
It did look really good this past week, though. So I'm not even – yeah, I wouldn't be mad about seeing it twice in a row.
All right. Well, we'll find out in a few days.
It's tough to predict these days. Like, we're in a completely new set of uniforms. You can't really go based off what you've seen in the past. For example, the last time we played South Alabama, we wore black, black, gray. And we had the bandana pattern helmet, which is actually why I'm wearing the badge today. I'm pretty sure both the gray and the bandana and the badge are all retired. So we don't have anything to go off of for what we might see against South Alabama based on what we've worn in the past.
So. Make it as orange as possible, baby. All orange, everything. Let's do it.
You just want to see that because you're going to be rocking your orange baseball jersey.
All orange, everything. Let's go.
Well, guys, shall we get to game picks? Yep. Picks with picks. Who's he going with? Who's he going with? Sorry, guys.
Bruh.
I'm sorry. If anyone is looking for a 105-pound dog, I have one for free. No, I'm kidding. He does his best. He was 2-0. You know, he can't be perfect. Or at least I hope he's not perfect after this week. I think that he was drawn to the animal logo. We learned last year that he had a tendency to go for the animals. So, yeah. You know, he has his flaws, but I love him anyway. So, you know, we're gonna do some film study. You know, I think he fell asleep at like the first quarter on Saturday, so he wasn't able to really like watch the Pokes evolve through that game.
Yeah, he fell asleep at a normal time. Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's doing his best. I will redeem the pick by taking the Pokes. I am going 31-7. I think our defense looks pretty good. They're figuring it out. And if they can stop LaDainian Webb, I think 31-7, calling it.
Nice.
Yeah. I think OSU comes out and they're just clicking on all cylinders to the point where in the fourth quarter, it's going to be just everybody else just rotating in guys that we haven't really seen much of this season. And it's not even going to be so much because of the passing game as much as it is going to be because the offensive line is just dominating up front. All the running backs are going to be smashing and dashing and rolling. And we are going to win this game 40-3.
Ooh, let's go.
Yeah, we're making it happen.
You're going to give us a false sense of how good this team really is.
Right. Give me that false sense. I need it. I need it in my blood.
Oh, man. Well, so far, we have won 27-13 and 27-15. So I'm going to go with 27-14 as we round out this non-conference slate. Pokes start off to 3-0. We still don't know anything about this team. After the South Alabama game, still frustration looming in the air just because we don't know what's going on. But hey, we get the W, and in the end, that's all that matters.
Respect. Yay. Can't wait. Hey, can't wait to see you guys in person this week. It's going to be a good time.
Oh my gosh, this is super exciting, everybody. For those who do not know, even I have never met in person. We just, like FaceTime every week. And it's so bizarre. I talk to Eve and Justin more than I talk to some of my oldest friends. So yeah. It's like to literally have never met you in person and be like, wait a second. I just talk to you most every day via text. And then at least, you know, once a week on StreamYard. So exciting time.
Very fun. Yeah. Hey, let us know in the comments, by the way, where you guys are going to be pregame, postgame, during the game, all that. So hopefully that we can, we can all get together. We can meet up at some point. We'd love to see some of the people who are watching on a regular basis in person as well.
And I'll see you too at the Southwell Spivey family tailgate.
Let's go.
Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. Like, share, subscribe, follow, rate, review. Once again, I'm Megan Robinson, joined by Justin Southwell and Eve Batoba. Appreciate you all. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.